Our scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. I invite you to take out your Bible and follow along with me as we hear the good news. Jesus is teaching and he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? It's good for nothing except to be thrown away and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on top of a lampstand, and it shines on all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people so they can see the good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we worship you this morning, and as these scriptures stir up our heart and we meditate on them, help us to live our faith in such a way that when we share it, it's a compelling message for people to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, quick question, what's your favorite restaurant? If you're worshiping with us online, I encourage you to enter it into the chat or send us a message. Let us know what your favorite restaurant is. But if you're here, if you're in person, go ahead and shout it out. Where's your favorite place to eat? Oh, a lot of different stuff out there. All right. So, I heard a very wise comment just now. So, well. Have you ever left a review for her? Have you ever left a review for your favorite place to eat? Or your favorite place to shop? Or for your favorite thing to buy? You know, it's so easy to do that today. It's so easy to tell others about our favorite places to go and eat and shop and do. I mean, when you look at Amazon or Google or even Yelp or our social media, we can all leave reviews about our favorite things. But there's an interesting thing that happens when we talk about something that we love or that we enjoy or that we find meaningful. The simple act of sharing our feelings increases our positive feelings about that thing. It becomes its own positive reinforcement. Well, the same thing is true with our faith. When we share our experience of God's love, or of Christ's presence in our life, or how our faith has changed our life, or how our church has impacted the community. It deepens our faith. It becomes more real to us. And in a way, as we share our faith, our passion for our faith grows. In fact, when I talk to Sunday school teachers, when I talk to small group leaders or Bible study leaders, and I ask them about how the classes are going, often the response I get is they get more out of teaching or leading than they do than they think their group gets. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, discovered that for him, the very act of sharing his faith helped him develop a deeper faith. And so as we continue our series on the journey, a path to spiritual maturity, sharing our faith is our focus today. The act of sharing our faith or giving witness to the love of God in our life will actually help us grow in our faith and help us be the light of Christ. And this is what Jesus is addressing in this part of his Sermon on the Mount. He opens up with the Beatitudes, and then he goes into this, saying, "You are the salt, you are the light," and he's setting the pace for the rest of his message. You are the salt. You are the light of the earth. Now, we already know how salt and light works. We know salt improves the flavor of food and light helps us see. Yet there's more to it than that. You know, as we grow older, our taste buds change. We get used to flavors. We no longer as sensitive to food as we used to be. You know, I worked for Gerber Baby Foods for a number of years, and that is about as clean and pure baby food as you can get without making it for yourself. And yes, I'm expecting a plug on that. No. But no, really, we had to be very conscientious about what we put in the food because babies' taste buds are very sensitive. And if we put too much, if the flavor was too strong, if we put too many seasonings in there, they wouldn't like it. And then we'd hear from the mothers. You know, as we get older, salt enhances our taste. But something similar happens with our eyes. As we get older, they no longer focus as quickly or as well. Sometimes they don't pick up the light as well, so we need more light to see what we're doing, to see where we're going. Well, Jesus wants us to be that extra flavor of life, that extra light in the world. And guess what? To do that, sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zones. We have to get out of the pews. We have to get out of these walls. He goes on to show that we are to let our light shine, not just inside, but for all people to see. Outside, for everyone to see. In other words, what we do outside of these walls matters. What we do after Sunday morning worship matters. When we go out to eat, when we go to the store, when we go to the bank or to the gas station, or wherever it is that we're going, how we treat people there matters. I mean, if they were leaving a review, what kind of review would people leave about their experience with you or this church? And I'm not talking about the showy off kind of religion that Jesus was talking about in the, you know, speaking against in the next chapter over in Matthew chapter 6 when he said to practice your religion in secret. No, Jesus there was speaking out against those who proclaimed their devotion to God, but then treated other people with little love or grace. For them, it was all about the show. I mean, we've all met people who've had bad experiences at church, right? We've all met people who've had bad experiences with other Christians, right? You might even be one of them. I mean, in fact, it's so common for people to have a bad experience that we have a classification for people that are spiritual but not religious. They're called the nuns. And we have a growing number of people who were deeply religious but are no longer religious because of their experience with other religious people where they've been hurt or burned out. And they're called the duns. What are we doing to love the nuns and the duns back into the community of faith? I once had a lady tell me that she was leaving the church, not because of anything that I did or anything that our church did, but because of something that another church in the same denomination did. They did something out public, and she said that she couldn't be associated with what they did and how that affected her faith, because she felt like that we not only allowed that, but that we endorsed it. My response was, you know, I agree with you. That's not consistent with my understanding of God and the love and grace of God either. But yet, if you leave, then who will show someone else what we're really like? Who will show what the church is really supposed to be like? Who will show people that God is a good and holy and loving God? See, even in the early church, they didn't always agree with each other. If you've ever read the book of Acts, they're constantly arguing about how to live out their faith. Yet they stayed focused on sharing the gospel and on loving their neighbor and on following Jesus. And we, as followers of Jesus, can show the world the love of God. We can show the world the grace of God. We can show the world that the church isn't a toxic place. Rather, it's a community of people who make life better and make you better at life through Jesus Christ. We can live lives that change lives. We can make disciples of Jesus Christ who make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of hearts, minds, lives, and even the world. And I know we can do this because I'm the result. I'm here because someone dared to show the love of God to a person that many would consider unworthy. I'm a Christian because of my dad. Me growing up in the faith is a result of my parents' faith story, especially my dad's. See, my dad didn't grow up in the faith. He didn't have a church, and the only time he ever went to church was for a wedding or a funeral, except that most of his family and friends and the circles that he ran in, they didn't even get married in the church. However, when he was 21, he made a series of bad decisions that landed him in jail for a few months. And while he was there, someone shared their faith with him. And as a result, Jesus completely changed his life. The love of God is the best thing that ever happened to my dad. And when he got out of jail, he started going to church. And when I was born, my parents named me after their pastor. And if it wasn't for his faith sharing and him telling me about Jesus, who knows where I'd be? Yet I'm here today. Is my dad perfect? Oh, no. Neither am I, and neither are any of us. Yet he continues to share and tell people about the Lord every chance he gets. And he doesn't let his imperfections get in the way of sharing his faith and how much God loves us. Are there people who played a key role in your life in you becoming a follower of Christ? Who is it that shared their faith with you? If you're worshiping online, let us know in the comments. Send us a message. If you're here or online, then I encourage you, I invite you, write them a letter. Tell them thank you. Let them know how they made a difference in your life. But here's something I want you to think about. Is there someone who would say that you played a part in their becoming a follower of Christ? Maybe you listened to them and prayed with them. Maybe you taught their Sunday school class or youth group or Bible study. Maybe you shared your faith with them or invited them to church. Or maybe you demonstrated the love of Christ with them and then followed up by letting them know that they matter, that they're not alone, that God loves them, and that you love them. I invite you to think about how you can share your faith over the next year. In what ways and with who can you share your faith? Because today it's easier than ever to share our faith. It's like leaving a review. Social media allows us to share how God loves us, to share something about our church, something incredible that our church is doing, some way that we're impacting the community in a positive way. We can even share our worship services. What is something that our congregation is doing that positively impacts the community that you want to share with others? You know, as we pray and worship and study and read our Bibles and serve God through the church, we'll find that more and more we'll have opportunities to do good things for the glory of God. We'll find more chances to show the love of Christ with someone else. And when we do, is going to open doors for us to share our faith directly, to tell somebody that God loves them, to invite them to church, and to share our story of how Christ has changed our life, how Christ has changed your life. I want you to think about setting a goal and see how often you can share your faith and invite someone to church. If you've never shared your faith with anybody before, then I want you to think about a friend and start praying for them and start having conversations with them about your faith. And hopefully, your goal is to invite them to church in this next year. And if they turn you down, that's okay. Don't let a no stop you. Think of it like a salesman that you're going to keep asking. And it may take several conversations and several invitations to let them know you're serious, that you really want them to be here with you, that they're really invited, that we're really going to love on them. And if you've already done that once, then think about sharing your faith and bringing someone on a more regular basis, maybe once a month or even once a week. I hear those chuckles. But the thing is, the more you think about this, the more we think about it, the more we practice it, the easier it'll become. And before you know it, you're sharing your love, you're sharing your faith, and you're helping the church make a real difference in this world and in our community, and that will become natural. And who knows, before you know it, you may be sharing your faith and not even thinking about it or even realizing it. Francis of Assisi gets credit with saying, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." And as much as I love that, there's really no proof that he said it. But he did say, "Preach by your deeds," meaning make sure your deeds match your words, that living faith requires words and actions. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul says that we are ambassadors of Christ, that we represent Christ, I represent Christ, that you represent Christ, that just as Kelly said, that we represent God to those who don't know God. In Matthew 9:36, Jesus encouraged us to pray to God, that to send more people out to share their faith. Because he said the harvest is bigger than we can imagine, and we need more people to work it. But finally, in Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus commanded that we go and make disciples of all nations. He didn't say force them, but by following him and teaching them what he taught us, to love God and love our neighbor, to love one another. You know, sharing our faith can be intimidating. You be encouraged, because God has given you the Holy Spirit. God has given you the gift of faith. And by God's grace, you will have the words to share what Christ means to you and how Jesus has changed your life and how God's love makes your life better. Think of a battle like a mirror. Who's in the mirror? Who do people see in the mirror of your soul? You are a reflection of God's love and grace. You are the salt and the light of earth. And whenever people look at you, when they see and hear you show kindness and mercy and grace to those who need it and to your neighbors, and when they experience you offering justice and doing good work to help those in need, may they see the reflection of Christ in the mirror of your soul. Amen.